Our second workaround story involves the White House. The Obama administration is seeking to formulate an international policy on climate change without having to get the Senate involved in any treaty ratification. The New York Times energy and environment reporter Coral Davenport joins us now to explain how this might work. Coral, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Hi, it's great to be here.
So how do you do this? So what sorts of things would, you dodge the treaty ratification process to actually get international agreements?
You have to get really creative, and that is what U.S. negotiators are trying to do. They're looking at an existing 1992 treaty that was ratified by the Senate and looking at kind of making some updates and amendments to that. And the thinking, the strategy is that some tweaks to that treaty would still be legally binding because it's an existing treaty. What they would do to the existing treaty is mostly kind of process and procedure. They would create a process whereby every country, every economy, every major economy would agree to pass a domestic law to cut emissions. And they would be legally bound to do that. What they couldn't say in that is what those laws would entail, how much, numbers, ways in which countries would have to lower their emissions. And so the idea is to create something that would be what negotiators call politically binding.
All right. So in a way, the White House is rolling the dice that while it might be easy politically to block a treaty in the Senate with a filibuster or a single vote kind of thing, the bet is that Republicans would be not likely to actually propose a law that says we want to reverse this and raise emissions. That would be too politically scary, even in this environment, and that even though it's voluntary, once the administration actually goes down this road, the opposition is going to live with it.
Well, the big leverage that the Obama administration has going into these international talks is that President Obama has already bypassed the Senate once on lowering emissions at home. President Obama tried to get a law through the Congress that would lower emissions. That died in the Senate. It became clear that was never going to happen. And so earlier this summer, in June, President Obama did – it's sort of a similar tactic, kind of looking at what tools you already have in the toolbox, even if they're less than perfect. President Obama used the tool of the 1970 Clean Air Act that was never really intended to deal with climate change and proposed a new regulation, a new EPA regulation under that old law, which would force coal-fired power plants to cut their carbon emissions, probably going to lead to the shuttering of a lot of coal-fired power plants, and was able to push this through without Congress. So going into these international negotiations, Obama and Obama's negotiators are able to say, look, the U.S. is already doing this. The U.S. is already acting. This treaty won't necessarily bind the U.S. To doing more, or this agreement, this deal. The U.S. can say, look, we're already doing something at home, and so we're just trying to negotiate to get similar actions from other countries. That's a big change for the U.S., and President Obama was able to do it by bypassing Congress in that way as well. So there is a domestic policy already in place here to reduce emissions, and that's a big difference in what's happened before in international negotiations.
And we should note that presidents, make trade deals with countries all the time, without going to the Senate for ratification. So there's a lot of precedent for pursuing foreign policy without relying on the Senate ratification on every single detail, and the administration is just making that more aggressive. What's the international criticism here in the sense that, the U.S. has not been exactly the most enthusiastic partner on the international climate change agreements so far?
So globally, there is a clear recognition by negotiators in other countries who are serious about this process that President Obama is serious about acting on climate change, and by moving forward, being willing to really anger congressional Republicans and also just members of Congress by pushing ahead with this regulation, the White House has demonstrated they're acting domestically. They're serious about reaching some kind of global deal. There's a recognition that the U.S. really has changed on this. The outcry on this approach is coming very much from poor countries, the most vulnerable countries to climate change. This is African countries that are going to be experiencing much more extreme drought. This is island nations. This is nations that will be threatened. Their coasts will be threatened by rising sea levels, and they don't have the resources to move people or to adapt to climate change. Those countries really do want a traditional UN treaty in which every country gets a vote. Every country has to go back and have it ratified by their government. And the reason why is what those countries want is the rich countries to be legally bound, legally committed to spend hundreds or at least $100 billion annually in foreign aid to help the poor countries. That's very, very important to poor countries. It really looks like this deal is going to end up being about the 20 biggest economies, the 20 biggest carbon polluters, reaching a deal to cut emissions. But it's almost certain that this piece of, spending money to help poor countries will be a voluntary part. It will not come with any kind of legally binding commitment. Given the state of the U.S. economy, given the state of the global economy, given the state of, of government budgets, I think that's a bridge too far for most of the negotiators.
Coral Davenport, energy and environment reporter at The New York Times. Thanks so much, Coral.
Great to be with you. Thanks.